Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome back to season 16 of Food for Thought. I can't actually believe it. I can't even believe we're on season 16. And I'm back in the studio here in London. It's fantastic. We've got the most incredible lineup of guests that are going to be bringing you the most fascinating conversations with nutrition, health and wellness fields. We've definitely gone above and beyond, guys, this time. I want to make sure that we have all the best information out there to equip you with the latest scientific evidence and research so you can, of course, live and breathe a healthy lifestyle, supporting you to make informed decisions, because after all, you're the ones that make the decisions with your life. A little bit about me, for those of you that don't know, I am Rhiannon Lambert, a registered nutritionist, Sunday Times best-selling author of The Science of Nutrition, many other books there too, the founder of Harley Street Clinic Retrition and the evidence-based supplements company Retrition Plus. Over the next few weeks, my guests and I aim to use science-based research. So we're going to sort fact from fiction. There is an overwhelming amount of confusing health information out there. So join us to dispel everything that remains misunderstood within the world of wellness. And as always, thank you so much. Gosh, we couldn't do it without you wonderful listeners. Honestly, the messages I receive, the support, the love, it's incredible. And I can't wait to hear what you think of the new season. So let's go. Gut health is a topic that would not have been talked about, let's face it, 5 or even 10 years ago in the media. And yet now, and rightly so, of course, more and more people are talking about their gut health. So from the mouth to the anus, that's where the pathway goes. Gut health covers some of the health of the entire GI tract. So it's responsible for breaking down food we eat and, of course, getting individual nutrients which our body needs. Now, even if you're putting in the healthiest food into your body, if you don't have good gut health, everyone, you won't really be digesting your food optimally. So as a result, you won't receive all the benefits. Now, our gut contains trillions of microbes, and I literally mean that's a number you can't even imagine seeing in front of you. These little microbes produce different hormones and vitamins, and they're vital, really, for our health. We could not survive, literally, without them. The majority of cells that make up our immune system are found within our gut, around 70% of our immune systems of our gut. So as a result, having good gut health has been linked to fewer sick days at work and a lower risk of allergies and autoimmune conditions. So it made sense that this week's Food for Thought sees the fabulous Mac twins, Alana and Lisa, they're TV presenters of Channel 4's Know Your Shh, can't say that word on here now, and founders of The Gut Stuff. Now, I've known these girls for years since they were first starting out and they were trialing in some twin studies. And they've originally worked as DJs in Scotland. Alana and Lisa decided to volunteer for the Twins UK research project all that time ago at King's College London. And they've gone on to become research subjects for the British Gut Project. How cool is that? They've discovered that this research, that although they are identical twins, they actually only share 30 to 40% of their gut microbiota. So this led them onto this amazing journey of discovery. Can you imagine about why their bodies behave differently? And they've made it their mission for the last few years to better understand what gut health is all about and empower other people with this knowledge. So here they are. Hello, Lisa and Alana.
Hello.
Hi. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we finally get to talk together in person. It must have been, what, years since we last saw each other?
Definitely before COVID.
Yeah.
I think it was that supper we last saw you at, that supper club we did with the hanging balloon on the...
That was like very start
oh
of
my, that. That was 100 years ago.
Goodness, it really was. And obviously babies are in the mix and you guys are killing it.
You've As got are you.
Products are on the shelves and this
As
is,
have you. I know, it's all got out of control really, hasn't it?
It has, but I think for everyone listening, we need to discover, you know, how did you guys get into gut health? I've done a brief intro, of course, and explained about the studies, but what is your mission now, because you guys aren't scientists, of course, you're kind of living it.
Yeah.
So we came into gut health very randomly. Actually, when we die, it will look like this was the plan because
our obituaries will make sense.
Because I was meant to do medicine at uni, and Alana was supposed to do business and law. And then we both were like changed our UCAS forms. I went to drama school and Alana went to dance school, much to the dismay of our working class Scottish parents who were like, you're the first people to go to uni. What's going on? But it looks like it was kind of planned now. But we volunteered for twin research under Tim Spector, mainly because we were really fascinated by physiologically what was different between us. Alana actually had arthritis when we were growing up and they couldn't work out why I didn't have it because it wasn't viral. And I had really bad acne. You can decide who got the worst deal out of that.
I've got that now.
Exactly. I just handed it to you. And, you know, Tim Spector asked us to have our guts analysed, long story short. It was the kind of start of what was the American Gut Project at the time. So that was back in 2015. And lots of stool samples later.
I think what it did, though, what the research did is, you know, where we were from and the way we thought about health was just not being ill and wellness was standing on your head drinking green smoothies. Now that's not for me. And actually for us as well, like health was something we did 2 weeks before we went on holiday, the cabbage soup diet.
Remember the cabbage soup diet? Did you do that?
Oh, I didn't do it, but I remember them all.
I did. Atkins, Duke, and we
baby
did them
food.
All. Yeah, baby food. Baby oh my food. God, baby food. What was one that Beyonce did? Was it cayenne pepper or something? So we fell foul to all those. That was us. And it was very much, you know, we were DJs. It was very much what was on the outside rather than what was on the inside. And as we were going through the research, also thinking about this preventative health piece was huge and a real light bulb moment for us. And, you know, we also just got a bit disillusioned with what was happening on social media at the time of, you know, what works for me should work for everyone. And we were like, hold on a minute. You know, what we found out from the research was even though we have 100% the same DNA, we only have 30 to 40% the same gut bacteria.
Mad, isn't it? Isn't that
totally
fascinating?
Mad. Yeah. So completely different. So actually, and not only completely different from a microbial point of view, but just the way that our behaviour and lifestyle was completely different. So we just became disillusioned by the messaging that was going out there. And we were like, right, we want to change this. And actually, all the conversations that were happening about gut health at that time, very few and far between back in 2015, 2016, were happening in the back of health food stores. And we were like, actually, how do we democratise it and bring it to the masses and people, you know, that need the information the most?
I guess the people, like, from a very simple perspective, like the people that we were DJing to, all these people in their early 20s, who are actually a lot healthier than we all were in our early 20s, like that. You know, can we speak to them about preventative lifestyle medicine message? And I guess that was just the kind of catalyst, and now it's very much out of control.
Yeah, and I think like the mission has not changed at the gut stuff over the 7 years. It is to empower gut health in everyone and to really democratise the information. And as we were going through the research and speaking to lots of different people in different fields, what we found was that it was quite disparate. So you had, you know, in food you had Kellogg's and Danone playing and sort of dominating in that digestive health, you know, because I think we'll probably get onto this, but the difference between gut health and digestive health or the complications around it. And then obviously pharma was big, and you know, we were like, actually speaking to scientists and clinicians, how can we disseminate this amazing science into layman's terms like us that people will understand? And we put ourselves in that you know, the masses category. And so what started off as an education platform has grown sort of arms and legs, but it's very, very important to us that we democratize overall health in general and through the lens of gut health.
That's what people like. I think everyone likes the fact that you're relatable, also the fact that you've lived it, you've been through these studies, you're making information accessible. That's what's the key, because let's face it, I think it's such a new area. We were just discussing, we saw each other when you were under the study with Tim Spector. That's only a few years ago, really. I mean, for us, it feels like a lifetime ago. But it was only a few years ago. So if you want to explain to everyone how you see the microbiome, what do you see it as? The fact that you guys have less than 50% the same and you're born and you live together in the womb is amazing. Why is that? Did you get any answers on that?
Yeah, they think it could be potentially, well, the reason why I maybe got arthritis and Lisa didn't was due to recurrent antibiotics I had when we were about three due to urine infections.
Could remember have disrupted I used to get jealous it. That you were always going into hostel and you used to get free.
Twins are weird. When I broke,
you used to get free toys.
That was just you as a person as well. When I broke my arm, Lisa was like, my arm's sore. Like, just because she wanted the attention.
It was
like,
lies.
No. The microbiome was probably one of the hardest things to get our head around. Mm. I think the first thing to get our head around was that our gut was more than just our stomach or our beer belly. So everything from mouth to bum, huge piece of kit. That was the first, like, oh, wow, how did I not know this in 25 years of my life? Yeah. The second one was, that there's this ecosystem that live in, around, and on us. Most of those microbes live in our large intestine. And for us, I was like, what all this bacteria? Like, give me a bath.
Yeah.
Where's the Dettol? We were 80s babies brought up thinking that all bacteria was bad. And actually, Dr. Emily Lehman, who's our new chief science officer, said an amazing thing yesterday, which was another... As we go through this journey, there's always light bulb moments. She said, if aliens came down from space and looked at us as creatures, they would see us as half microbial. We are 1-to-1. So they'd see us as hybrid creatures. And I was like, oh, wow. And actually, the first time you hear that, it can be overwhelming. But the beauty of it is that you can change your microbiome. It's empowering. And I think that, but that first hurdle is a lot to get your head around.
And they did more positive things for us than we know or could know or I hope to know in the future. And just think that's what we Oana was saying yesterday about them being little doctors and
so we always try and use analogies for the microbiome because it is a lot to get our head around. And obviously a lot of people have used the rainforest one or think of them as your pets and
garden.
Grow the garden, diversity and all that sort of thing. But I'm a bit obsessed with short chain fatty acids
Obviously.
Did you ever think that would be something that would come out your mouth?
Exactly. I used to say house music and now I say short chain fatty acids. But, Emily explains, I was on a talk yesterday and this is the first time she's come out with this. I was like, this is genius. Okay. They're based short chain fatty acids. They're like little doctors and nurses going around your body giving aid and obviously anti-inflammatory effects to all your organs. I was like, this analogy, light bulb. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for us, I think that's why the gut stuff has resonated with a lot of people because we are everyone and we say to everyone, we're toddlers, speak to us like we're toddlers and we will then disseminate it. And I think that's what resonated with the Channel 4 series as well. Mm. The microbiome is a complex beast and it's so ever evolving and it's so unique. Lisa and I are really different, but it's a fascinating field of research.
Because what's so interesting is that you were DJing on Love Island, doing all these things that were just, let's be honest, totally worlds away from gut health. Yeah, you were probably taking calls behind the scenes saying, right, let's discuss short chain fatty acids here. Let's get these stool samples. What was it like at the time getting this kind of, because you've kind of been in this industry or in this new scientific field, new nutrition research, as it's grown and become more mainstream. So what was it like seeing other people start talking about the area that you were currently being studied? I mean, that must have been a bizarre feeling.
Yeah, exciting, I guess. Like, I think, do you know what, actually, the biggest... kind of when everyone talks about rolling the snowball over the hill and now it feels like the snowball's coming down because it felt like we were, and you probably feel like this all the time, like you're constantly trying to convince people that this thing is a thing,
right? Yeah.
and I think what's nice is and especially I think in the channel, the TV series is a good example of it. We spent years pitching a show about gut health, right? And people were like, absolutely no way. Like, why would you? There's
no way
there'd be a show about gut health. Yeah. And we'd be like,
And if you do it, it's never going to be mainstream.
Yeah. They were like, it's going to be tucked in the back of a channel that no one really knows and blah, blah. And then when Channel 4 were like, we'll give you the bake-off slot, we were like, okay, this is the catalyst. Like, this is the change, I think. And as you know, things get more difficult as they get more mainstream because everyone starts to argue and fight with each other, which I thought that it's worse in this than it is in the music industry.
Oh,
honestly,
no.
And I think that it's because obviously the science isn't binary, it's open to interpretation, and you'll probably see this a lot more than we do.
I think as well that this is where we got on so well, and we've got such a shared mission to improve the health of the nation. And if that is everyone's mission, then there shouldn't really be as much infighting as there actually is. But I think when we knew the sort of, you know, pat on the back for us when the first episode of Know Your Sh actually rated higher than Love Island.
That's amazing. And the news,
we were like, wow, 7 million people tuned in live to that show. Was, you know, crazy for us to get our heads around and tuned in live to a health format. And actually we were like, all this hard work, and as you know, the roller coaster that is running your own business is starting to pay off. And even just anecdotally with our friends, when we first started it, they were like, what are you two on about? Like,
and the behind the scenes, as you say, like getting the right mix of experts on the show, and the mix of some things that are, you know, of course it has to be entertaining, as well as sensitive to the amazing contributors that come on. And I think that that's the tension as well, that the tightrope that we all walk is getting people interested in something and getting them passionate about it, plus being efficacious, true to the science, being true to these people that come, amazing people that come in, having the right clinical team, you know. And the clinical team that you see on the show is only half of the team that are it's like there's GPs, there's a whole clinic set up, and I think that was and to your initial point, I think that was probably maybe the seed, the change when people started to talk about, wanted to talk more about gut health than Love Island.
That is quite telling, actually. It's definitely quite telling. It's interesting you mention about arguments online, or you see a lot of scientists, and this is something I see a lot, they get very excited about their area of research, and then they believe that it's going to apply to everyone on a public health level, and it just doesn't work that way. But obviously, we're in our own little echo chamber. I would go as far as saying a lot of people were listening to Food for Thought today, guys. I know you're probably aware of gut health. Lots of people still aren't. The reality is we've still got a really big journey to get basic mainstream information out there. There's a lot of confusion. People are talking about blood glucose levels now. People, there's always something trendy people are talking about in the scientific world. So if you could explain to people from what you guys have experienced, how big a deal is this really in terms of keeping us healthy, keeping our immune systems ticking? You know, we're getting into that season. We spoke about it before we went on air with our kids going to nursery or whatever, but the bugs are coming.
Yeah.
They're around. How important is what we eat?
Yeah, I think what how the immune system thing, when it landed with me, was because I was like, our immune system's house in our gut. I don't understand.
Yeah, this is just it. For my listeners, I always say 70% of the immune system's in the gut, but that is really hard to get your head around.
Yeah, because you just think your immune system is colds or
echinacea.
Yeah, or boosting your immune system, which you don't want to do. So we just see the marketing jargon about our immune system. And actually, I think a lot of us, and I put myself in that category before, don't really know what our immune system is.
No, they just take a shot of the popular product, I can't say, that you put in the water, it turns it orange, you drink it, you're like, great, I'm doing my bit.
But as well, like, and I think that there's so many other, the thing that landed for me was that your microbes teach your immune cells the good and bad thing. And I was like, oh wow, they're like trainers. That was like, okay, great. And
they're personal trainers.
And then Jenna Michalki, who's an amazing immunologist.
I love Jenna. We've had her on the podcast before.
She's the best.
Yes.
Scottish and has twins.
I know. I remember. Yeah, she came over my flat in London years ago, and we did an Facebook Live back then.
Yeah, when they were trendy.
Old school. Very old school. I don't do that anymore. But she's an amazing immunologist.
Yeah, and I think the way she explains it as well is like, you know, all these different tools in your armory, and it doesn't have to be infrared saunas. You know, it can be lots of small, simple changes that you're. Similarly with gut health, you know, the things that, and this is what. When we were writing the book, and I'm sure you felt the same, like a lot of the stuff for different areas and silos comes up again. So variety, fibre, all the stuff that we talk about. And I remember Anjali's book on, Anjali's chapter on skin was really similar to Jenna's chapter on the immune system. And actually there was so much crossover of like doing all of these small things will help your immune system and your skin and your gut health.
It's all linked.
And it's all linked. And I think that was... Again, another moment that you know, wasn't, it made it feel less overwhelming that it was actually, there was
small... We're all singing from the same hymn sheet.
We are.
Totally.
And I think it's difficult. The complexities come with gut health because people think, as soon as they think gut health, they sort of think digestive health and maybe digestive issues, IBS, IBD, which we should absolutely be focusing and supporting people on. But actually, everyone needs to be thinking about gut health. But that's quite hard to market to. It's like, everyone, listen, because people are going to resonate with different things, whether it be, you know, menopause, fertility, mental health, skin, you know, all these things, you know, all relate back to our gut. But that's difficult, a difficult messaging to get
it
across.
Is. I think people are aware that how well you eat can impact these things, but not the gravitas of actually how much it does. Because let's face it, we all experience from day to day bloating, you know, different digestive symptoms that I know you guys have got. And are there any lesser known symptoms that you experienced or something that you've seen in the studies, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess things like eczema, so things that people wouldn't associate, obviously, anxiety, eczema.
Tiredness, fatigue.
Yeah, fatigue,
low energy.
Brain fog.
Yeah.
All of these things that I think
sleep.
People...
Oh my goodness, sleep disturbances.
Yeah.
Who would have linked that to your gut health?
Yeah. And I think as well, and that's like a good point, is that, you know, your gut health isn't a linear journey or your wellness or your, you know, food for nutrition and nourishing our bodies is not linear, because your life stages and getting ill go through, you know, I think since being pregnant, I thought I had my wellness, my gut health nailed.
Yeah.
And then suddenly all these new hormones and stuff coming, and I'm
and
like,
you can't eat anything but beige in the first few weeks.
And I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
And then when they come, it's like grabbing whatever you can. Yeah, literally. And I think that's the thing that is also hard to get your head around. Normally in the health and wellness world, people are selling quick fixes or change who you are overnight. The thing about gut health and the beauty of it, I think, is that it's simple swaps over a long period of time that is going to fluctuate across your life, whether that be life events, you know, or work stress. Like, so many things impact our microbes that everything needs to be taken into account. It's an ever-evolving, you know, journey. And that's a, you know, it's hard to get your head around, but that's certainly where we've seen the benefits anecdotally, individually with ourselves. I mean, we couldn't have been further from health and wellness being working class DJs. But actually, and we're not angels now, so to speak, you know. So I think actually that long term thinking about our gut health, and that's why with the gut stuff, we're in it for the long term. And as you said, and you know, quite rightly pinpointed, is that most people still don't know where their gut is. So there's still a huge, we're only maybe 5% of the way there. There's still a huge way to go. And I think that's why, you know, you do an amazing job as well of, you know, getting into the mainstream and talking about it in ways that people understand and can relate to and will change that behaviour.
It is really the impact that I find of the message of adding things in. I think it's so overwhelming to say to someone, well, go and eat the 4Ks, go and eat a load of, you know, probiotic foods. That in itself is too much for some
people. Absolutely.
I think the basic message should be just have an apple of a snack one day instead of a shop-bought bar sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes pick the right bar if you're going to pick a bar.
Yep.
Obviously, I can plug you girls there. But, you know, there's different areas that people can improve, get more diversity in, and just think...
Have an extra bit of veg.
Yeah.
Or keep your skins on, the veg you are having.
Yeah.
If you're having pasta, try and have brown over white. It's like those simple swaps. I think it's
and
hard...
And they don't break the bank. That's
affordable and accessible.
We're living in a cost of living crisis now, and I think for so many people, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
How am I going to feed my children?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be scared of baked beans. They're actually fantastic. Just
buy
the
source of fiber.
Get the mixed beans and tomato sauce. They're cheaper as a variety of beans in there rather than one generic one in a, you know, the brand that everyone knows of baked beans. So yeah, there's simple swaps. What are the biggest simple swaps you guys would implement for people?
Yeah, exactly that. I would say, you know, cost of living crisis, get yourself to that fruit and veg aisle, you know, the discounted section. You know, Lisa's a brilliant cook. I am not so much. I don't have much patience. Maybe that'll change once you have your baby.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens when a little one comes
back in. I know.
But things like that, like, just, you know, if in doubt, go to the juice section. You'll probably pick up something you may not normally pick up. And that's the thing, you know, we all go into the supermarket and pick up the same six things.
I think bread is like a good, interesting place to start.
Yeah.
Because obviously, yes, sourdough is at the end of the spectrum, tends to be expensive, probably difficult to make yourself.
However, not all sourdough is sourdough.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that bread is a perfect example of where, especially things like gluten, and people think that they should cut out gluten, fun, alcohol, everything, when actually, you know, tiny percent of the population are in fact celiac. But bread is a good example of, it might not be the gluten, it could be all the other nonsense that is in the bread that you're having.
Yeah.
Because if something has a shelf life of 3 months,
it's going to be a preservative.
It's probably,
what's that doing to your microbes?
Yeah, what's that doing to your microbes? I think that that's a really good easy place to swap in the morning. Of, you know, there's options for 50-50. Yeah. There's options for whole grain. Yeah. If you do want to splash out on a sourdough, yeah, go crazy.
I just got a bread maker. Yeah. It's a game changer.
I love it.
I think over time, it will, obviously they're expensive, that initial one, but try and get it in a sale. They do do a really good discount on the sales. But it's so easy. You just put all the flour and the butter and the water and the sugar and salt. It's pretty cheaper over time than buying packets.
And that's for anyone, obviously, that's experiencing digestive discomfort from consuming bread. But of course, for some people, we've got to remember bread is fortified, you know, with calcium, with iron, folic acid. So actually, it's not always the demon. A lot of people demystify these things, or rather, that's not what we're doing, demystifying. People build things up in the wrong way. Gluten in particular. There's all these myths about how it micro-tears inside the gut. And what are your thoughts on this? Because you must get this. I imagine people message you all the time because you're more approachable, I think, for this type of stuff.
Do you know what? It's actually more like if we go around to people's houses for dinner and stuff.
Really?
And
people are apologizing. That you're,
And you're like, you won't have that. I'm like,
where's the red wine? Where's the red wine?
Where's the chocolate?
And I think that's more people have demonized.
Yeah.
Gluten is one. Dairy is obviously the other.
Yeah.
And any sort of sweeties or chocolate or sugar is another one. And actually, like, people want to have a binary relationship with these things. I think because they're, and this is a perfect example of when industry races ahead and usurps ahead of the actual science. Because there's so many gluten-free products that people assume that they shouldn't be having them. But the problem with the gluten-free, a lot of the gluten-free products that are out there, is that they're full of other nonsense.
Gluten's a protein and it binds food. So it's got to have extras to bind a product to make it, right?
Yeah. And I think people, the problem as well is that people usually, you know, this is anecdotally, go out for dinner and go, I'm out for dinner, so I'll have this. Then they get a bit of bloating, and of course you're going to get a bit of bloating. You've eaten food, you know.
And richer food than you normally have at home. You've had
your
a really good time.
A party.
You've been sat down for ages, hunched over.
You're drinking, you're chatting. Yes, you might have a bit of bloating, and they just go, okay, right, I could never have any of that because I felt really uncomfortable at that meal, or I'm not going to have it at a meal now. It must be bad for me. And I think that it's not the actual, you know, it's not the bread, the gluten that's a problem. It's people's relationship and behaviours around that. And
the relationships with food are huge, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned psychological factors of lesser known symptoms, you know, things like stress. I think there's even links, obviously, there's big links with depression and the food that we eat now with the SMILES trials that have come out. Yeah. We know the Mediterranean diet could potentially be as effective as antidepressants. This is big stuff we're talking about. So why on earth are the government not doing more to raise awareness?
Yeah, and the gut-brain axis is, you know, I think as well, again, another kind of light bulb moment for us. It's like you think of them as, you know, they're connected in so many ways. We always think of the vagus nerve.
It's like a
as
telephone
like the phone line.
Phone line.
Exactly. And then, you know, the
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp is the neurotransmitters and all the many ways that they're connected. But I think that, you know, one, there's a cyclical cycle of you're anxious about what you eat and you're in fight or flight before you start to eat. You know, are you putting your body in rest or digest? Probably not. And then also, you know, all the science that's starting to come out. And, you know, yes, a lot of the studies are new. They've been done on mice, etc. But I think knowing that there's a link there is important, and we can use that as a tool in our armory. Yes, is sauerkraut going to cure your depression like lots of tabloids would like to tell us? No. Absolutely not. And that's the problem when it comes as like good mood food and all this stuff, like when industry jumps
context,
on top of it.
And even I've found writing a project I'm writing at the moment is that you've got a word limit. And when the words that you write get edited, things get taken out of context. Yeah. And you're going back saying, look, the whole message of what we just wrote gets lost. And it's the same in marketing. Think about these guys making adverts on TVs. They've got like, what, one line? To put in bold to get a message across? Isn't that out? It's mad.
Yeah, I know. And the really hard thing when it comes to gut health as well and food is that regulatory-wise, you're not allowed to say pre or probiotics on pack, and you're not allowed to make health claims. No. You're not allowed. So actually, it's really difficult to say the benefits of food or food products on pack.
But people do, don't they?
You must have
seen it. You must have seen a lot of naughty companies breaking rules, and they don't get picked up and it takes ages to get picked up.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So there's another area I want to touch on before we do listener questions, because I feel like this topic's just huge. Food allergies, food sensitivities, obviously they're very, very different things. Do you want to break that down a little bit for what you guys have seen and witnessed and been told?
The thing about, and actually we get asked a lot of this when it comes to kids. And if you have a food allergy, you will know about it.
Oh, it's an immune response, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what people say, that they're allergic to things, when actually you might have a bit of an intolerance to something, or sometimes in combination with other things, you might feel a bit uncomfortable when you eat it, etc. And I think there needs to be a lot more awareness around that, and people cutting out.
But also as well,
are you doing a lot of that at the moment on the gut stuff, like trying to raise awareness between these differences?
Between the two. And we actually saw, but on the flip side of that, especially on the show, we saw people that are so debilitated by things, you know, allergies and or food sensitivities.
Can't even go to work and eat at work.
Commute or you know, eating out is a huge deal. So talking about both ends of the spectrum, I think it all comes down to educating exactly what they are. Who can you go to? What do you do? You know, what do you do in that situation? Is it your GP? You know, please don't send your hair off in the post.
Oh my goodness.
Please don't do that. Or even
any testing.
Yeah,
just look
intolerance
at my
testing. Yeah. Or it'll tell you that you can't have Pinot Grigio. You know, it's so specific.
Because you just
like,
had a glass of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So stuff like that, I would say. Education needs to be done there, and that's our biggest bugbear, is people say, I did this test, it told me to cut out X, Y, and Z, and that's something you're like, no.
It preys on really vulnerable people. Yeah. Let's take, I don't know, let's pretend case study Jane. She goes to work in the morning, she gets there, she's had to spend 15 minutes in the bathroom already because of the stress of the commute, the symptoms she's experienced. She's then in pain at work all day. She feels she can't eat a proper lunch. She's then not concentrating. Everything goes wrong. She sees this test, find out what's wrong, but you do have to fork out X money.
400 quid.
You're desperate.
Yeah.
They do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw it time and time again on the show, and that's what we're trying to do with our app, is actually, you know, that comes out in January, is, you know, people will not log obsessively, because that's not right. Don't have to log every day. We're doing like sprints of logging. But it's, you know, actually looking at the correlations and patterns. It might not be something that you're eating. It could be a work event. Oh, it could be the days that you have to, you know, commute. It could be anything. Yeah. It could be the day your kid's in nursery or not. Yeah. And actually, like, what are those patterns and correlations? And starting to actually tune in. And I think a lot of us don't really tune in. And we definitely didn't, unless we were hungover or we were ill.
Still don't some days. Yeah. I'm a nutritionist, that's my profession, but life takes over, and we've just got to realise that's why.
Yeah, and I'm sure when you see people in clinic,
You
know, that bigger picture piece is so important, that holistic lifestyle thing, because, as you know, even if these tests were gold standard brilliant, you're not taking into account anything else in that person's life.
No, and we've got to remember allergies. For people that experience allergies, they're life-threatening for
some
people.
Absolutely,
yeah. You know, we've heard all the stories about the girl on the aeroplane, and there are some terrible cases, but they have raised awareness. So everyone should be more aware of that difference. Now, moving forwards, we know the gut's the second brain, and we've got lots of listener questions for you. So the first one from Amy said, please, could you touch on the difference? And I know we mentioned irritable bowel diseases earlier, but for Crohn's and colitis sufferers, what about people that are seeing all this fatty stuff out there and they've got a serious disease with their gut?
Yeah, and I think that's why it's really important, if you do think that you have an allergy, to see your GP, because they will be able to test you for it. So I think that we always say, like, make sure before you do all these fads that you've ruled stuff out. And a lot of the products that are to do with gut health and apps and things like that aren't suitable for people that have digestive issues, because you need to be within a clinical setting in order to have those treated. Because the advice, for especially around things like fibre, you know, the general advice that we give will not be for you.
No, and people need to know who to go to. So I'm a registered nutritionist working in public health capacity. My team in the Retrition Clinic, we've got gut health specialists, dietitians that work in the hospital, and day in, day out, they deal with irritable bowel diseases.
Yeah. Yeah.
They deal with this type of inflammation and these autoimmune responses and various things. Yeah. It's a whole different ballgame to generic public health, gut health, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what comes to confusion with gut health. I mean, there's so many complexities to it. But I certainly had that, my eyes opened. I think episode 3 was all on, you know, IBD.
Yeah.
And yeah, I certainly had my eyes opened when we started filming that. And, you know, it's so debilitating for a lot of people.
Oh my goodness, one of my
best friends when I was at university studying nutrition. Emily, at the time, we used to do night shifts at the library to make ends meet. You know, like you do. We would just sit there. You just stayed up all night when you're a student, right? We used to just stay up working and chatting in the library. But she had Crohn's, and the amount of steroids and trials she was on at Bristol in the time, traveling back, and consultants. There's still a lot of research. We don't have enough answers in those areas. It's really hard for people to live a life where they're not in pain, and it can knock them out for a whole week or more.
Yeah, we hosted the in Scotland the kind of it's like a pediatric conference for IBD, and these kids, you know, it's so difficult. They, you know, there's so much time off school. There's so much, and I think that's what annoys me about the industry and just have gluten-free products and blah, blah, blah. Like, you are belittling what is a really debilitating issue for people.
Well, for me, it's also charlatans in the nutrition world, pretend nutritionists that are trying to sell their plans and programs to people, taking advantage.
And for us, it's like, what can we do?
Take this dragonfly supplement to increase your villi. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God.
Like, I think what we had on the show and what we see all the time at the gut stuff is people just saying, thank you so much for raising awareness on it. Like, I don't feel alone. And actually, the amount of messages we still get, because it's still on all four. Yeah, I think people are like, I just don't feel alone. And actually, what a lot of people said is that, you know, teenagers saying, my friends get it now. Yeah. After watching it, they get it. They get what I'm going through, and they get. And actually, for us, I was like, job done. Like,
that's... we do get a lot of people trying to book into PHQ on the street with us, and I'm like, I wish I could book you into PHQ.
Yeah, not quite now. But yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. And then a question here from Joe. I'd like to understand a little more about antibiotics. So I know you guys mentioned you'd understood the differences when you were younger. How can it affect your gut health? And if needing to take antibiotics, is there anything we can do to reduce the impact on the gut microbiome?
Yeah, so antibiotics are basically like a sort of chemical bomb on your bacteria. So it takes out the bad, but obviously it takes out the good as well. But if you obviously caveat,
And I think this is a really good personal example. After I gave birth, Ari and I both needed antibiotics.
Yeah, I was the same. Yeah.
And I was like, I was literally saying to Luke when I was half, like, I said, no, we can't have, like, when I want to save your life.
Yeah, they told me when I was pregnant with Zachary, while I was giving birth, look, he's got an infection, your temperature's really high, you're going to have to take this, he's born. I was like, can we just wait and see? But they were...
The thing, like, when they are necessary, absolutely. Overuse of antibiotics is one thing, but actually, a lot of the time now, like, our little cousin's a chemist, and she says that she will always recommend, if people are given a dose of antibiotics, to have a probiotic.
In other countries, you get given that as standard in prescription.
But
as well, with caveat in that there are certain strains of probiotics.
Research.
So we always just say, have a wee go on PubMed if you've got a rainy day.
We actually just have a thing launching this week on probiotics, like what they are, when you should actually take them, what ones, because I think there's a lot of confusion around that as well. And, you know, we do a lot of corporate wellness talks. We're going to one after this, and without a doubt, everyone will say, should I be taking a probiotic or should I not? Yeah. It's something that we're really passionate on just educating about, and you've got to do your research. We've got something coming out this week. Yeah. On what actually they are and when and
yeah,
when
so to take for
them.
Anyone, I think taking yogurt's a really good example. If you buy yogurt, you want to look on the side, added strains. Often it'll be lactobacillus or bifidobacteria, whatever it may be in the side. But even vegan yogurts now, for people that can't consume dairy, you can get them with added strains, which is fantastic.
Just life culture.
I think as well, it's exactly that thing, you know, yes, if you do want to take a probiotic after you've had antibiotics, go for gold if you've got the money. And you want to research the strains and you've got the time, go for gold on that. But as you say, like, just all the simple swaps that we talk about, trying up your fibre a bit more, you know, try and have some more life cultures. If you do want to swap your fizzy drink for a kombucha,
my kids don't know any difference. So they're brought up in this generation where obviously I know a lot more than I did growing up. They have kefir.
Yeah. So does my daughter.
Normal.
Literally, we were talking about this
having
before.
A kefir ice lolly yesterday.
Kefir ice lolly yesterday. Yum, yummy, yummy.
They don't know.
Hannah's daughter, even when she has the homemade bed, she goes,
she's eating the motors on. But she loved it. Like, she, from a young age, just started her. Yeah. And I think that's why our generation is exciting for us to make. You know, my mum, she's getting there, to be fair, but my mum was very much like, you're too preachy, you can't change me now, blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't till, you know, maybe 7 years later, even my husband, he's now going, oh, I think I get
mine's
it now.
The same, yeah. It took a long time. Yeah. We've been together 13 years, a long time. And he didn't eat any veg when he met me. I've never discussed this before, actually. Personally, never met any veg. We used to have arguments. I used to storm out of the flat because he just wouldn't put any veg
in
anything.
Hide it in pasta sauces.
Yeah, eventually, anyway, now he eats everything.
Okay, good.
Took a long time.
Yeah. It just shows. But and that's a prime example of the long-term mission and, you know, simple swaps. It doesn't have to be.
And him probably overhearing you every now and then and got, you know, pennies dropping every couple of years.
Honestly, look, the other, like, literally after TV show went, you know what I think you should do the gut stuff? And I thought, oh God, here we go. He went, I think it should be like meshing around like simple swaps. I was like, have you watched anything we've done over
and you're
the
like,
last?
I have been trying. Yeah. But it doesn't sink in, I think, until it becomes a part of your world.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the really interesting part. So when you're looking at gut health anyway, you've got to think about the fact that, okay, everyday symptoms can be impacted by what I'm eating, but the future generation, what are they? They're not Gen Z. Mine's a coronial, I think, because he was born pandemic. I don't know what they're called.
What are they going to be called?
My 2020 boy is a coronial.
Coronial, all right.
See, I don't know if that's taken off, but that's what I was told. Yeah. It sounds awful. Ooh, like,
there'll be something.
Sounds like Star Trek. I don't know what it is.
I do worry what social media and stuff will be like for our kids' age. And
because
and
we've
like
got
that.
A real chance, right? Millennial generation and whatever onwards. I think we've all got a real chance to give the future generations more education around food.
Yeah, but we know how long it takes to change. Like, we're on the NHS Food Review Board, which is great because it shows that they're looking at the importance of gut health among that. But, you know, we're still on five veg of that.
I know.
But also, like,
27% of us get five a day. That's the 2019 National Diet and Nutrition Survey, but we need another one.
Yeah. But interestingly, like, we're piloting to be on the school curriculum just now in sort of food tech.
Please.
They've got stuff
thank
module.
You. Let me know if I can help.
Yes. You're in.
Honestly,
you're in.
They get it. Yeah.
Like, and as part of it, they have to, because it's food tech, so they've got to cook what they would normally cook and add extra fibre, variety, it's whatever. But that's been really heartwarming for us. Yeah. Like, we would do that all day, every day if we could.
I know.
Because they're so passionate about it. They're like, oh yeah, of course, I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, that's what the gut stuff is all about, is making those grassroots, you know, systemic change over a long period of time. And if the way that we do that is through talking about poo on TV and all the rest of it, having pink poos on bus stops, then so be it.
Thank you. No, I love it. I think what you're doing is amazing. And it leads me on to our fact or fiction round. I don't know how we're going to do this with both of you, actually.
We'll probably do it at the same time.
Okay, you've got to try and answer simultaneously. Get the twin vibe going. Okay, right. So, fact or fiction. Detoxes and cleanses are the ultimate gut health solution.
No.
Great start.
Oh, fiction. Oh, is it? No, fiction. Right?
You have to say fact or fiction, Anna. That's the name of the game.
Do you know, everyone does it and then they say false and I'm like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. A gluten-free diet is necessary for optimal gut health.
Fiction.
Well done. That was simultaneous. Right. A healthy gut is solely determined by diet.
Fiction.
If you poo every day, it's a sign of a healthy gut.
Fiction.
So we'll touch on that after. Mm-hmm. Supplements are necessary for gut health.
Fiction.
A lot of fictions here. Stress and sleep can impact our gut health.
Fact.
So it sounds like a kid's
turning into like a chorus, yeah.
We're in harmony next.
I love it, yeah. Looking after your gut and overall health is all about inclusivity, moderation, and getting plenty of plant diversity.
Fact.
Bloating is all down to what we eat.
Fiction.
Apple cider vinegar can cure digestive problems.
Fiction. Although great in a salad dressing.
Do you know what? I should have added a question on what's the new supplement everyone's taking? Glutamine or something, that amino acid, thinking it's going to heal their gut.
Oh, yeah.
A healthy gut microbiota means good digestive health.
Fact.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Well done, girl. Quick round. Yeah. That was fantastic. Before we wrap up the episode, let's touch on bowel movements every day. It's such a misconception. Obviously, you don't want to go too long, but everyone's different, right?
Yeah, and I think that we're, you know, everyone's normal's different, but what we kind of managed to get, and especially on the show, down to is like once every 3 days or three times a day is considered normal. But even then,
your normal's different.
Like, Alana poos once a day at the same time.
Yeah,
that's just her personality.
I've got regular bowel movements. I'm daily.
Yeah. And now my daughter's now half four. She's in. She's got the same as me.
So what I love is so weird. When you see kids, and you'll get this when your little one's born, not in the early days, but you'll notice they have the same time nearly every day where they go.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because I had yesterday, I did my one and only antenatal class that I've done.
Well done.
12 days to go. I'm like, oh, I should probably
learn on the job. It's one of those learning on the job.
They had good, they've got a poo circular thing at Chelsea and Westminster. I had my meconium thing. They had little charts.
Yeah.
And they were like, the midwife that was taking it was kept apologising, like, sorry about this. And I was like, I feel so at home here.
Oh, I feel hurt. Exactly. Well, there's so much more to cover, but it does wrap up today's episode. And we always do finish with a take home, like a food for thought message. And I think I'll start by just saying thank you, because I think what you girls have done is make something mainstream and more accessible, which is blooming fantastic. Get the conversation going, you know, alongside obviously the business empire that I think you've created, which is also thank you for women in business and things that you're doing. Let's just rally together, because it's hard and we still are not quite up there yet for females in this country, but we're getting there. Gut health is incredibly important. It's those symptoms people don't realize. Your sleep, your happiness every day, your mood, it can impact it. So it's the little changes. It doesn't have to break the bank. Just buy some cans of beans and pulses. Reduce your animal consumption a little bit and up your plant consumption. That's my kind of take home. Now, between you both, I don't know how you're going to do this, which food for thought would you like to leave our listeners with? And
I think if you are passionate about gut health and you know about it, spread that word in whatever way you possibly can. And because until we know that everyone knows what their gut is and why it's so important, we'll not sleep at night. So it will help us
sleep more.
Get to sleep.
Yay.
Yeah. I think mine would just be like, keep a curious mind. Like you know, if you're being sold something that is a quick fix or whatever, that keep a curious mind as to how much that is going to fix you.
Yeah.
Fix you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be mine. I guess in general, it's a good life.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Life's a roller coaster, honey.
You don't need to spend hundreds of pounds on test kits to understand and learn more about your gut, which is also a fantastic take home. Now, girls, where can everyone go to learn more about what you do?
It's just all the gut stuff.
Yeah, thegutstuff.com, at the gut stuff. Yeah, easy peasy.
And where can they purchase products? Because you've got things going on.
Everywhere, really. Sainsbury's,
Morrison's, Boots,
Superdrug, Ocado.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you.
Right, that's it. If you're enjoying Food for Thought, you will love what we have coming up in future episodes, I have no doubt. So if you're not already, you just have to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. So this means you get a little notification bell. I wish I'd known about it earlier, so you don't miss out on the new episode. And it comes out every single Monday. We've been doing Mondays since the start of Food for Thought. We're now on series 16. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and I really hope that we're continuing to bring you the latest research along with our special guests to ensure that you're just getting the best experience possible. So if you are enjoying our episodes and you're learning lots, then please do leave us a review or get in touch. This will help enormously and ultimately help us reach more people and make sure we're doing the right thing by you and giving you the right information. So if you want to learn more about the best-selling books, the clinic, perhaps you need to book in to see one of our fantastic clinicians, or to find out more about Retrition Plus, you can find everything you need to know on retrition.com. And you can follow, of course, me on Retrition on all social media platforms. Yes, I'm even on TikTok now, guys, so you can head over there and check it out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.